Good morning, everyone. Please bear with my voice this morning. I'm usually the loudest person in the room, but this morning, for some reason, I am not. Anyway, God can still speak. How easy was it then to hear that message being passed back? Was it easy? Some teams made it right to the back row. Other teams, maybe it was a little bit more difficult. And in the passage we've seen acted out for us this morning, Samuel heard from God in a time when the word of the Lord was rare. And what I want us to think about firstly this morning is, are we hearing from God today? And what might he be saying? We saw this morning and we read that the Lord called Samuel. And three times did the Lord call Samuel. And three times Samuel ran to Eli the priest, thinking that it was Eli who was calling. The fourth time the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. I don't want to dwell on it greatly, but isn't it lovely how the Lord came and stood there? Not only did the Lord call Samuel, he was present there with Samuel when he was talking. But anyway, we see God calling Samuel by name. And this is a pattern that we see repeated time and time again in the Bible. God calls by name. In Luke 19, we read, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. To anyone else, Zacchaeus was a little man who had climbed up a tree in the middle of a big crowd to try and see Jesus. We never read that Jesus had met Zacchaeus before this moment. And yet he looked up at the little man hiding in the tree and he knew Zacchaeus' name. Again, in John 20, Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Mary knew who Jesus was and Jesus knew Mary. But Jesus had died. And Mary was at the place of his empty tomb, weeping. And she thought that this man before her was the gardener. And it was only when he said her name, cried out Mary, that she realized who he was, that he was the resurrected Lord back from the dead. And again with Samuel, God called him by name. But what's the significance then in a name? Well, in the book, God Knows My Name, written by the wife of singer-songwriter Matt Redman, she says that a name imparts meaning, value, identity, and significance. God does not call, know, or define us by what we do, by our best achievements, the things we're most proud of, or by our worst failings. He knows us by our identity, by who we are. God did not call Samuel and say, oh, little boy or servant of the priest. He called him Samuel. He knew him by name. Beth Redman adds, the enemy would have you live a nameless existence, feeling anonymous, illegitimate, unknown, unimportant, inglorious, and unfit to be named. But this is not what God says. In Isaiah, Isaiah sets this out really clearly for us. And Isaiah says that the Lord who created you and who formed you says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And later in the same chapter, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. God calls you by name. With a name comes that sense of belonging. You belong to God. He says, I have summoned you by name and you are mine. He gives us an identity. He knows us. He places value and worth on us. and he formed us for his glory. The enemy would have you live a nameless existence, not knowing who you are. But God calls you by name. What then is the significance to a name? Does anyone know, and would anyone be brave enough to share this morning, what their name means? Anyone? Yeah, David, do you wanna? What does your name mean? Agogo means joy. Yeah. Anna. Anna means grace. Del. Delavine means of the vine. Damola. I can't hear you. Joy mixed with riches. How beautiful. I don't have time to go through everyone's names, but I'm sure you know. Well, we've already heard this morning that one of the meanings of Samuel's name is heard by God. But Samuel's name can also mean his name is El, or his name is God. So when God called out Samuel, he was also calling out his name is God. He was revealing himself to Samuel and revealing an aspect of his character, who he is. Not only does God call us by name, but God wants us to know his name. In Monday Night Youth at the moment, and if you're coming along, bear with me because some of this will be familiar to you. But we've been going through a book called Incomparable. And in this book, they draw upon the fact that knowing someone's name is indicative of a personal relationship and intimacy. Andrew Wilson wrote, "In revealing his name to Moses, Yahweh put himself into the most intimate relationship available with Moses. Astonishingly, he does the same with us." And we've been looking at some of the names of God, and just as names in the Bible show something of the people's character, God changed several people's names in the Bible to reflect his view of them or something that was happening in their life. And in the same way, God's names show us his character too. So as God calls your name and reveals his name to you, what aspect of his character might he be wanting to reveal to you today? These are just some of the names we've looked at in Monday Night Youth so far, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but just one or two to kind of, elaborate on maybe, so that the Hebrew there makes more sense. Maybe God wants to reveal to you simply as Yahweh, the I Am, the God who actually exists in comparison to all that the world around us worships. The God who is present, who never changes, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God who, it doesn't matter who you are, because he is there and he is on your side. Maybe he wants to reveal himself to you as Yahweh, my banner. In the battle in the days of old, they would look up and see the king's banner and know that it's that place that they run to for direction and safety. In the midst of the fight. Do you need to know God as your banner today to look up from whatever situation you're in, locate his position, and run to him for direction and safety? Your victories are absolutely dependent on God and the fact that you are fighting under his banner. And his banner raised over you is love, we read in Song of Songs. Do you need to know him as the peace in the midst of the fighting, that wholeness and completeness, and that fullness, even though there is conflict on every side? Maybe it's him as your shepherd, the one who provides all you need. It's not the sheep who were tasked with finding food and water. They were merely sheep. It was the shepherd's job to find food and water, to provide for the sheep, to protect them from the enemy. The sheep didn't debate with the shepherd which way to go. They didn't worry about where the shepherd was taking them or whether they were following the right path. They simply went where the shepherd went and trusted him that he knew what he was doing. You can't end up in the wrong place if you are following Yahweh, my shepherd. He's so much bigger than his sheep. Maybe you just need to know simply that he's there, never abandoned, never alone. Yahweh is there. And these characteristics of God are so ingrained in his character that they form part of his name, his identity, his core of his being. So what is God saying to you today? He knows your name. He is calling your name. He wants to reveal himself to you in intimate relationship. The question is, are you listening? Samuel's response to God was, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Are you listening? How often are we doing when we should be listening? How often are we worrying when we should be listening? How often, instead of saying "speak," we say, "Wait a minute, God," or "I'm busy, God," or I'll listen to you later, God." What can we do to cultivate that attitude of listening in our lives? What distractions get in the way of us spending time with him and hearing his voice? We read in 1 Kings 19, when Elijah was running, trying to get away from it all, that God spoke not out of the storm or the earthquake or the whirlwind, but God spoke out of the stillness in that gentle whisper. If Elijah had been distracted, if Elijah had been in that whirlwind, he would not have heard the gentle whisper. The Lord is not in a hurry. So take your time to listen. And let's find the right page of my notes. I just want to say at this point, don't discount yourself from hearing from God because of any fact about yourself. You think that someone is more likely to hear from you. In Samuel's stories, God called to the child in training. He didn't call to the priest of the land because the child was listening and the child was ready to hear the message. If you are listening to God, God will speak. But also take heart. God didn't just call once. 4 times did God call Samuel. And it was only on that 4th time that Samuel responded and knew it was God. God is patient. You might be thinking you've missed your chance or got it wrong, but God calls again. He is not willing for us to miss his call. In Hebrews, it says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." God not only wants us to hear his voice, it's not enough just to listen. We have to respond. We have to obey. So just as you hear the message and hear what God is wanting to say to you, don't harden your hearts. It's all about what's happening on the heart. And Samuel learned this throughout his life. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God is calling your name. He wants to reveal himself to you. And he desires for you to know him and know who he is. Are you listening? And will you respond to his call?